is the Tiltcast, episode 685, Game of the Year, 2025 and 26, part one. That's what we're doing.
Woo-hoo. And this week, guys, we're discussing everything Game of the Year 2025, including narrowing down what we played this year into a workable list. Stay tuned.
Hey, y'all. We're back.
Woo!
For the world's latest Game of the Year episode.
Yeah, that's what happens with life.
Yeah.
Everybody's probably picked theirs. We have picked ours. I'm still playing stuff from last year. It was a busy year. But, I think we're ready to do this. It's Tiltcast. It's an M-rated show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Grumpy. I mean, Rust.
And with the three of us, well, you're not going to get a lot of bullshit. You're actually just going to get, and no news. This is where we rank stuff. This is going to be I'm assuming a two-parter. It is late in the evening. In fact, it's like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock rusty time. It is definitely
late. Past my bedtime.
Past the rusticles' bedtime. This is like old school, back when we recorded till like 1 in the morning, it feels like. But not really. We are ready. But
Coca-Cola cherry float. Let's do it.
Coca-Cola cherry float.
Yes. I found this can. Coca-Cola cherry float.
Well,
I'm going to try it.
Not sponsored. Oh, not sponsored. But yeah, in the realm of life, you guys haven't noticed, we've been doing a whole lot of news episodes, some regular episodes kind of sprinkled in here and there. But mostly news. So.
Oh, that's good.
We got a little bit of. You're like, ooh, it's pretty good. All right.
All right.
Yeah, this is a little bit more casual Game of the Year. There's no fanfare, there's no stage, there's no dumb bands.
This is just our opinions.
Yeah.
And opinions from people who actually play a decent amount of indie titles. You know, unlike most of the publications.
Yeah. And some early access shit.
Yeah, we play a lot of stuff that's like not on any of those lists, right? But that's I think that's what makes us a lot different, right? Like, we just play games. Some of it's stuff from Hype Cycle, some of it's not, some of it's random discovery, some of it's not, some of it's like Splattercat discovery. I'll give him full credit for that. Splattercat's got a great channel. Dude plays an indie game every day. Discovered a lot through that, discovered a lot through Steam discovery and Reddit discovery. That's where a lot of this stuff comes out. So I think Jason's way better at keeping us on track when we do this. In fact, we have this whole system where we pick what even goes on a Game of the Year list and then put it on here. And then we'll have probably five, because like when we looked at the list, like, we got about 30 titles between the three of us that we really played a lot of. That are games that, these are just games we played. This doesn't necessarily even mean that they go on the list. So what we're going to do is kind of go through these and describe if it even needs to stay, and then continue to whittle it down, and then probably actually score them, right? There's no way we're going to be able to go back and say, yeah, I set a 4.3 on this one episode now. I think it's even more honest to, like, if we're reflecting on it, if we've played a lot of stuff, to really think about it, right? So,
And there's a lot of things that we that we just rethink on throughout the year, or even replayed again, and then have a different opinion.
Yeah, for sure. So, without further ado, Jason, I'll let you lead, and then me and Rusty can kind of comment. If we played it and if it needs to be on the list, let's start there and let's see where we get.
Yeah. Well, What about, and I know we definitely talked about it last year too, I think, because I think it had its full release, but first one I've got is Darkest Dungeon 2.
1.0 release
which
date.
Which I'm pretty sure is just you.
Yeah, it got on Steam late in the year, I want to say. I'm not sure. Darkest Dungeon 2, it's not as, I don't know. It's hard to say. Why don't we say play? I think it's a good game. I don't know if it belongs on the list or not, but let's just say play. So let's not exclude it, because it's a pretty good game.
Okay. Avowed.
Did we all play Avowed?
I think we all played some hours in Avowed.
Yeah. I
know I didn't beat it because I ended up having ADD and fell off. ADD and fell off of it hard. But
and that's okay because I had... And this is going to come from the guy that hyped it up the most, like, again, getting stuck on the whole Oblivion train. Not Oblivion, Obsidian train of being like, yeah, but Obsidian makes good games, but then just the story's not great, and the gameplay's not real great, and the upgrade system's not real great. And I wanted to like it way more than I did. I don't think it belongs on this list, man. I really don't.
It falls flat because the... You know, it really locks you into a, you know, a particular weapon. You really, once you start upgrading a weapon, you cannot change it, or it's extremely hard to change.
I've heard that that's been changed.
And that's fine.
But it's too little too late. It doesn't change our experience with that game.
Right. It doesn't change that experience. The story was kind of middling. Voice acting was okay, but...
Yeah, some of the voice acting was pretty decent, but...
I wasn't really drawn into the story. It's like, okay, you know...
I feel like it was
didn't capture me.
Yeah, I feel like it was a swing and a miss, and I think it's just... The character interactions weren't great, and the story wasn't great, and the gameplay at times was pretty fun. But just like you're saying, that upgrade system, it's like, I guess this is what I'm using the rest of the game because I'm not finding any materials to upgrade it, right? And nothing respawns, so it's just like you can't really grind levels if you need to.
If you could take, you know, and I'm not sure how this works. I mean, I'm not sure if this is how they're, you know, they fixed it or not. But basically, you know, if the upgrade materials that you put into a weapon could be either extracted from a weapon or transferred to a new weapon as you upgrade, you know, upgraded to try different things, even if it meant losing access to the original weapon, right? You know, it was like you sacrifice a weapon to infuse that into another one or whatever, you know, just so that you have the option to try other shit. It was that I was so stuck on a particular set of pistols that I couldn't play with anything else because there was no, I mean, I was well underpowered if I tried. So it got boring real quick.
Yeah. So that's
the biggest thing for me is there was not nearly enough customization for your character, and I think that's part of the reason I really just fell off of it hard. And like Justin said, there's not enough story there to hold you either. So I don't know. I also think it's a skip. I mean, really, it's not a horrible game. I'd rank it a 3.5, but I'm not. It's just a really hard game to sit there and play, though.
We wanted it to be better. We wanted it to be a Skyrim, and it wasn't. It wasn't up to the task.
No, it really wasn't. So, it's about a definite skip. keep scooting there, Jason.
What about Monster Hunter Wild?
I am mixed on this one, man.
Something didn't pull me back in. After I finished it, I don't really want to go back to it.
I do. And it's installed right now. Like, it is in the, it's in the rotation. Thing is it had a really, so the launch for it was kind of troubled by its, you know, its performance, especially on PC.
Yeah, it really was.
But my machine could power through, so I really didn't have a negative experience as far as performance was concerned. What I missed about Monster Hunter Wild is that it has, just like every Monster Hunter, has a, you know, something that's unique about it. This one was like the mount, the secret mount, and the abilities, you know, to like attack wounds, right? That was really cool. Like there's some really neat things that you can do with both of those things. The open world was, you know, is actually, you know, done fairly well. Now, what I missed was basically some of the challenge that, you know, that came with Monster Hunter World and, you know, to an extent, Monster Hunter Rise. That challenge initially wasn't there. Like, you could get through just about everything, and the hardest monsters at that point were just annoying, because they were just annoying. Like, Nergigante from Monster Hunter World made me hate him to the point where I got good at killing him just to, like, you know, just to piss, you know, just to vent, right? I would do a Nergigante hunt because I got good at killing him, you know?
Well, do you want to keep Monster Hunter Worlds?
Oh, yeah. Keep Monster Hunter Worlds. It is worth a play if you're a Monster Hunter fan. It's just, and this might have actually changed quite a bit, because I do know that they, you know, recently found out why the PC version has, you know, had a lot of issues with the performance. It had to do with a DLC check of all things.
Well, that's ridiculous. Wow.
Yeah, if you were...
That's a real programming oversight.
Yeah, any time that the game tried to check to see whether or not you had a particular DLC installed, it would drag the performance way down. Which, of course, is whenever you walk through the hub. So, you know, they fixed that. And apparently that has fixed a lot of those issues. And there's some really challenging boss encounters now. Now that it's had some time to mature a little bit, I'm going to give it another go. I really enjoyed playing Hammer this time around, which, I mean, is not a... not a game type that I, or a weapon type that I normally play. So yeah, it's worth it.
All right. What we got?
All right.
There's a few more to go through.
Tactics Ogre Reborn. We covered that last year. I don't think it belongs near the list this year. I just happened to play it this year.
It's really, really good. I think it's just,
yeah,
let's just skip it. Just like a Valve we should skip.
So then, moving on, Dawnfolk.
It's good. I just don't think it belongs on Game of the Year. It's good for like 15 hours. And then you beat the hell out of it, and then you're done with it.
Right. The first Berserker, Kazan.
Man, I'm like stuck on like maybe... there's a thing that shows like how many bosses you have left in the Codex, and I have 3. And I'm stuck on this dragon. It's hard as hell. It's really good. I don't think I can put it on the list, though, because I haven't beaten it. I think it's really good, though.
You can put it on the list if you haven't beaten it. You know, this isn't the, you know, the games that you beat of the year. It is the games you think are worthwhile of this year.
If you've spent more than 10 hours in the game, I feel like you're fairly just.
Oh, we're probably at 60 hours right now.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I'll rate it later.
I will say that it is good. Like, it has, you know, it's not necessarily as tight as a Dark Souls is.
I beg to differ. It might be the tightest I've played in a long time.
It's not tight in the same way. Like, Dark Souls is deliberate, whereas Kazan is more chaotic, right?
It's all about timing your parry and your dodge.
Timing your parries and dodges, yes. And that is probably one of the problems that I have with these games is anything that has got a parry mechanic with a tight fucking window. Man.
It gets better when you put more points in it. I'm at 55.8 hours in that game. Let's keep it. Let's keep going.
All right. The Elder Scrolls Oblivion Remastered.
That's the best remaster I've ever played, I feel like.
Yeah.
I hate it. I this is one of those games that I prefer to think about, you know.
Do you hate Oblivion?
In the past. Like, it's just like Morrowind for me. Like, thinking about how I played Morrowind way back in the day and actually playing it right now, I would hate it. I would despise Morrowind right now. I guarantee you.
Okay,
it's completely different kind of game. That we've diverged in how games are actually presented. And Oblivion, to me, has a leveling system that makes the game impossibly hard if you do nothing but, like, try to enjoy the game. So you can over-level yourself just by walking around. And doing, you know, side shit. So if you're not hyper focused on just doing the story, you can over level yourself and make the game extremely hard.
All right. Well, I'd like to keep it. I don't want to exclude it.
I would like to keep it too. I thoroughly enjoyed my experience. That said, we'll go ahead and move on because I'm sure we'll have some waxing about this one. Clara Obscure Expedition 33.
Yeah, the hype.
Game that won Game of the Year from pretty much everybody.
I would just say leave it and we'll talk about it later. Like, we all know it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, that game surprised the shit out of me.
It surprised all of us.
That game surprised the shit out of everybody. It came out of nowhere. It really did. All right, moving on. Dead Zone Rogue. That's a you and Rusty title, I think.
It's an early access. I would say exclude it. And it's pretty good. It just needs more bones.
It really does. It needs more bones, and I think it needs more front loading than it gives.
It takes a while to get, like, good loadouts. Like, you got to get into, like, what, level 5 or something before you have something that feels decent.
So are you saying it still feels unfinished despite getting a 1.0 release in August?
Yeah.
I haven't
played it since August.
I've played it recently and I've gotten through the first act essentially. So there's like 4 different acts in the game. You can do It's a roguelike, so you basically can run the same runs over and over again and get different things. But the first act only opens up a handful of different kinds of guns for you. And that handful, you very quickly find your favorite and you never want to move away from it. And I know there's more guns available in later acts, but you have to get to those acts, unlock those guns, and then they'll become available for variants of, know, those runs. It needs more front loaded and more varied builds later. And I think they'd flip flop that a bit. And it's just weirdly balanced. Not bad, but not great.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. All right. Doom the Dark Ages. We'll wax on about that one. We'll just say, play it. It's a good experience.
Yeah, it's Doom. I don't want to kill it either.
So we'll move on because we got a lot of games to go through. Forever Skies.
It's a good game. It just doesn't belong in Game of the Year.
Play this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Game of the Year. I just think it's good. Like, and I feel like if we get, here's my golden for this podcast. I think I want to get, if we kind of figure out what we're going to exclude, like narrow it down to like 10 games that should be on there, and then we'll part two this shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games.
Yeah.
There are. All right. Well, then moving on. Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon.
Hell yeah.
This is on my list to play. This is probably the Skyrim that I wanted.
Yeah, 100%. This blows about out of the flipping water, bro.
That is the game I wish I'd been in the mood to play all year when I had Game Pass.
I don't think... Is it on Game Pass?
I don't think it is.
No, I think it's just on Steam.
It wasn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. No. Then I wish I had the money to buy it.
It's a really good Skyrim. It's a darker Skyrim. Just, that's what it is. Maybe not quite as epic, but like, we haven't gotten a game that close to Skyrim since Skyrim. It's got better voice acting and better
person
and better combat. Yeah, the third person on it looks weird, but it's a really good game. Like, totally should play it. And I think they got a DLC that just dropped for it too.
All right, well, then moving on, The Altars.
I really like that game.
And I really fell off.
That's fair.
It's not that it's bad. That's the weird thing about it is and this might just be me. I did have a very weird year this year. So when that game came out, it was right at the beginning of summer. And I was also like rapidly losing weight at that point. So I spent a lot of time not in the house playing games, and that's probably what, you know, hurt The Altars for me. I still have it installed. You know, I just need to get to it.
Yeah.
So it's worth playing because it has got a very unique way of telling its story.
It changes too, because I had to replay it because I lost track of where I was at after 10 hours and I came back to it like a month and a half later. Different choices made different things. Getting different clones made different things happen. My ending was pretty decent. I feel like I could probably have gotten a better ending, but I could definitely see the choose your own adventure stuff here. I think it's really good.
All right, we're moving on to Kojima, Death Stranding 2.
Freaking Gus.
Which I know only, unless Rusty ended up having PS5 played on, I think only Justin played it.
Man, well, I guess it got snubbed so hard. This is such a good game.
So Justin played it on the PS5, I said I was going to wait until it hit PC.
To be like 2025, 2026 or 27 from the looks of it.
It's going to hit PC this year, 26.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it's going to be my one of the must plays for me.
It is currently set to release March 19th on PC.
Right, so it's going to be.
You should just play it when it comes out. That's like 3 weeks away.
Right. As soon as that comes out, I'm going to be playing that game.
I think the combat was tightened up a lot. The world is bigger. The combat was a lot more interesting, and the ending was a lot more interesting than I thought it would be, honestly. Like, it was a really good game. It was a really, like, he topped Death Stranding 1. I don't know how he could have done it, but he did. It's a weird-ass game, too, but, like, holy shit, that game's good.
I mean, you still deliver a pizza at one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, as long as you get to deliver a pizza, I'm good.
Yeah, Death Stranding 2, like, this is easy top 5 territory for me. This is really good.
Right.
All right. And Stellar Blade, Justin.
Super got snubbed. That game's really good. I know there's a lot of TNA in this game. However, you can dress the character however you want. It has not a whole lot. Honestly, it doesn't have a whole lot of bearing on everything. I know there are certain skins, basically, that you can add to everything. Like, just play the game. The actual upgrade system separate from that. It's a really good Ninja Gaiden. It's a Ninja Gaiden that's accessible. That's basically what Stellar Blade is Ninja Gaiden. That's not, like, so hard you want to, like, you feel like, you know, like in American History X, and that guy gets his face stomped and his teeth knocked out, right? Okay. Like, that's how Ninja Gaiden feels to me sometimes, and I'm a pretty decent gamer. It's not that hard. After a while, I got pretty used to the defense mechanics of Stellar Blade. It's a really good game. Keep it.
Yeah. All right. And No Rest for the Wicked.
I think it's really good. I don't think it belongs on the list because it ain't out yet. I think it will once it's out, though, because it's a good game.
As soon as that gets a 1.0, I'm all over it. At the moment, it's
just lacking content. You get to the end, you're like, I want more. And it's like, yeah, it's just basically it. Like, play this, like, roguelite Diablo.
It really is. It's the very end. It's basically like, okay, well, here's some combat to tide you over. But oddly enough, it's got a really good story. And
I was pretty surprised.
The cutscenes. I mean, initially they turned me off because the character proportions were really weird.
But, yeah.
It works at that distance,
like that, where it has the angle of the camera. It just works to help you understand what's going on, I think.
Yeah, and it catches on, like, after the first, the first initial act, and you start getting into, like, the city and stuff. That makes it makes more sense. And where it leaves off, as of right now, leaves off on a pretty, on a pretty weird, like, dark note, and it's kind of neat. So I'm interested to see where they're going with it, but it's not ready yet.
Right. Okay. And next on the list, before I move on, they did release the multiplayer update for No Rest for the Wicked last month, so yeah, everybody's anticipating 1.0 release sometime this year.
Yeah, the multiplayer is an interesting add to it, but it's also one of those... You're already making a game that's balanced for one person a lot easier by trying to balance it for four.
Yeah, I agree. Right.
That said, moving on, a game I know I'm the only one in the group that played. Marvel's Spider-Man 2 got its PC release back in January of 2025, so I ended up playing that last year. Thoroughly enjoyed my playthrough. I've actually played through it a couple different times. They added enough new mechanics to make the game feel like a real justification for, for a full $60 game. Unlike the Miles Morales thing that could have been a $20 DLC.
That's what I've heard.
For the first one. The combat was even tighter. The new combat mechanics they introduced with the symbiotes, etc., was really great. It's going to be in my list. I just haven't decided where yet. And then that's kind of where we'll go with RoboCop Rogue City Unfinished Business, which I know I played. I'm not sure that it's going to be in my list. I gotta really think about that. I mean, it's a really great game. I actually think if you enjoyed the first one, it is definitely worth it. The overall total time to play is quite a bit lower. It's not quite as long as the first game as far as the story bit goes. But still a solid game. Still a solid game. So with that, our next title covers Wu-Chang Fallen Feathers.
I want to finish it before I give a rating to it. It's a pretty good game. I just don't think it's on our Game of the Year list. I think it's definitely worth playing.
It fell off of the hard.
Oh, it was on Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
Game Pass. And it just kept punishing me over and over. It felt like...
It is a hard game, Jason.
It's at least as hard as
Kazan.
It felt like playing Ninja Gaiden to me. I don't know why. It just felt uber punishing.
There's not a really good block mechanic. There is a lot of parry and dodge, but it really wants you to parry and counter. And the timing on it's really tight, but it does get better the more you level up.
Yeah, for me, I have probably the hardest time playing a Souls-like game that is based in Eastern mythology. I think that is probably one of my biggest issues. I don't understand why it hurts for me to do this, but Neo, Wu-Chang, to an extent,
like, Rusty wants to be a knight.
You know, like Black Myth Wukong, you know, all of those, you know, all of those have a very similar feel. Like it's in the Eastern mythology, right? But for some reason, I can't grip those. And for me, it's like Neo has a lot more systems that I really wanted to see.
Yeah,
you're talking about it.
It's my problem is I went into Wu-Chang wanting something more similar to Ghost of Tsushima, and that's not what I got.
No, you're not getting that. Wu-Chang is more of a Souls game than it is a...
That's harder than a Souls
right.
game. It's really weirdly balanced, too. But either way, you guys didn't like it. I haven't played enough, but I say skip it.
Right. And then one only Justin played, Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance.
It's a decent enough game, man. I fell off of it so hard, though. It gets so grindy. There's some parts of it that are pretty cool. It's not on my Game of the Year. Let's just skip it. Like, it may resurface as a game of last year that I liked.
Right. All right. And As We Descend.
Early Access. It's a good game, but it's Early Access.
All right.
Yeah.
Witchfire, which is also Early Access.
It's really good, but it's not ready.
It's not ready. In ways, So Dead Zone is better set up than Witchfire is, but Witchfire has better bones, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the foundation for Witchfire is really good. It just needs a little bit more variety. It's really freaking hard, too.
it is, but every time that you get an upgrade, it feels substantial. Like, if you get different weapons and you upgrade those weapons, you get further and further in those runs. Whereas, you know, to compare it to something else that came out this year was, you know, to compare it to Dead Zone Rogue, you're basically just given a bunch of shit, you know, that a lot of it is crap, but you just kind of like go and you can, you know, very easily get through your first two, you know, first act in the first two or three runs, or the first run if you're actually really good at the game. Whereas Witchfire, it's going to kick you in the nuts a few times before you can actually, you know, get to a point where you've killed anything that's, you know, of substance. So yeah, it's difficult, and it can get better. I just need to see it actually get to a 1.0.
All right. Abiotic Factor.
It's a this game currently. It's a really good game. I really like Abiotic Factor.
It is Half-Life Survive.
It is so good.
It is basically playing Half-Life, but as a survival game.
And having a pretty good sense of humor about it, too.
I've run into a couple, you know, a couple things that was, you know,
humorous. It's a pure love letter to Half-Life with a different twist.
Yeah, it's definitely worth playing, and it should be
It should be included. It's one of the best survival.
Definitely should.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's talk about Hollow Knight Silksong.
God, this is divisive. I've fallen off of it. It's a really. You got dropped.
It was disappointing for me.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like absurdly, like a modern. It's like a modern Contra in a way, right? Like just dodging to get your little hit in and then go back to dodging like crazy, which I think for some people is probably pretty cool. I got all the way to the point where I had to like pogo stick my way through an entire level of thorns, and I said, fuck this game. I'm putting it down and I'm going to play Abiotic Factor, which is an actual fun game.
Yeah. When this game came out,
I was so hyped.
It was very hyped. I downloaded it immediately. I very quickly realized that I was not in headspace for this. This game was going to piss me off. It should be talked about, but I think what they did was they took the hardest part of Hollow Knight and made a game out of it.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it felt like, and it felt less strategic than Hollow Knight because of it.
Yeah, it needed. So Hollow Knight had the mystery of a, you know, like a Metroid.
Yeah.
Whereas Hollow Knight Silksong is like, I'm going to kick you in the nuts now.
And over and over again.
Not only the mystery, but there was definitely more strategy going into boss fights. Each boss was a little bit different. But none of the bosses felt like they were there to just screw you.
Yeah, well,
there's a couple bosses in Silksong that I really felt like were just there to screw me.
And the enemy placement is set to screw you too. We'll talk about it more later.
That said, moving on, Borderlands 4.
It's all right. So, do we want to put it on the list?
It is all right. Now, is it game of the year worthy?
I think I'd exclude it. I think I would exclude it, to be honest with you.
It's better than 3.
Yeah, it's not as bad as 2 or 1.
It's not as good as 2. 1 was kind of, you know, 1 was just defining because it was the first of its kind, right? But 2 is where it peaked, and then 4 does a good job of actually going back to a playable version of Borderlands. It didn't hate the game, but also didn't really love it, and there wasn't very much. Once you completed this, the story of the game, there wasn't much to keep me playing. And I think that matches most people's sentiment of Borderlands 4 is like, once you get through the game, there's really no reason to continue playing. So.
All right.
It does not have any staying power.
Well, The Outer Worlds 2.
Yeah.
Man, again, I think another swing and a miss from Obsidian, like, retrospect. I wanted to like that game a lot more than I did. I think it starts off really strong. Really strong. And then it just peters out.
It starts, I mean, I like the game. I think it's
not a game of the year.
It's okay. It's probably not in my list.
I hated it.
But that's just because the story falls off like way too early.
Yeah.
I hated it from the very first, like,
I hated it. Why?
Mission. I hated it.
Okay.
Just, it didn't make, it did not click with me at all. And I guess the original, The Outer Worlds, also really didn't click. For me, it really wanted to be like the love child of a BioShock and
a Fallout,
and it kind of came out as a mutated baby in both situations.
Yeah, it's because it's missing Chris Avellone. Biggest mistake from Obsidian is getting rid of him.
Yeah, it's missing that magic.
It has all the
worlds too.
Yeah, they have all the right bones. They just don't have any of the right direction.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't like the way that they basically... I think the game would actually be better without companions. Go figure.
Yeah, for sure.
I agree. The companions really drug this one down. So, moving on. Escape from Dukov.
It's good, but it's early access. I don't think it belongs on here. It's a good game, though. Needs to cook a little bit longer. It's basically Escape from Tarkov, but you're little ducks, and it's top down, and you're getting like incremental upgrades and taking stuff back to your base. It's pretty cool. It gets pretty hard too.
Tarkov and
single player, kind of
Zero Sievert, almost
very Zero Sievert. Zero Sievert's also really freaking good, but. Yeah, you just play it if you're interested. It's definitely good.
Moving on to one only I touched, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. It will be in my list, and that's all I'll say.
I mean, the game that bankrupted them? Go for it.
I think it bankrupted them for the wrong reasons. I think this is... this game not succeeding had very little to do with what the game actually was, and a little bit more to do with people not being able to let go of what the first game was and just enjoy this game for the vampire story that it was. Yeah, I think nostalgia killed it.
I think nostalgia killed your rating, bro.
All right.
I mean, you're allowed to like what you like. Don't get me wrong.
People said there were a bunch of technical issues with it. I didn't run into any.
56% positive rating. 56% Metacritic 4.7 user score.
Metacritic's at 4.7
for user score.
Whatever.
So I think that
Vampire the Masquerade,
you know, Vampire the Masquerade as a game is...
I think it's the worst game on our list, probably.
For me, it falls in the same category as Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Oh, no,
one that should have stayed in the past.
Oblivion's good, bro.
It should have stayed in the past.
All right there, Grandpa.
Whatever. Yeah, I think that, they tried to modernize
a
beloved classic, tried to iterate on it, and they took too long to do so. And in the process of doing that, they really kind of fumbled on the hype cycle, and it bit them in the ass.
All right.
They definitely fumbled the hype cycle. That is for sure. It has a mixed rating on Steam. A lot of the reviews I saw on Steam are mostly people upset that there weren't more RPG elements to it. A lot of people hated the limited skill tree, etc. Outside of that, or they were having technical issues. I didn't experience any technical issues. I didn't get hung up on the limited skill tree. I enjoyed the story of the game. I enjoyed the gameplay. I enjoyed the combat. I didn't see a lot of the big issues that a lot of reviewers were giving it. So
fair enough.
I can only say what I say, and I think it was better than what a lot of people took it for. And as far as like publications, there are a lot of writers out there who just remember the original Bloodlines being this super great achievement, and it just read like they couldn't let that go.
I mean, I remember Deus Ex is a super great achievement from back in the like the 99 era. Like for its time, it was great. The problem is you have to compare what we've got today to what they put out today, and that comparison, you're going to have Masquerade Bloodlines to fall flat. It's just going to fall flat because of that.
Yep, absolutely. Which is somehow something we stayed away from with Human Evolution and Mankind Divided.
Well,
just saying,
it had its own issues.
Right, but I'm saying
those issues were not necessarily in the game. It was in the marketing and the company trying to do weird shit with with like DLC and buying power and bullshit. So that there was different issues.
Yeah. That said, we've only got a couple games left. One that I only included here, it only ended up in our playlist because I played it this year instead of last year. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2.
That was our number three game last year, Jason.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
So it won't be on this year's list. Like I said, I just went through and took all the games we played. Now, I'm not going to leave anything unsaid on this one. People can disagree with me or not. This is my game of the year. It's Dispatch.
You know, we haven't even got to that episode yet, Jason.
I know. I don't care. I'm spoiling that one. This is my game of the year.
All right. Dispatch is really good. It deserves to be on the list.
This was my favorite game to play this year.
Okay. We'll get back to that then.
That said, our our last game, and one I had some fun with, but I mean, does it really belong? Final Fantasy Tactics Remake.
It's a good nostalgia bait. You know what? Here's what we ought to do. Fuck nostalgia. Let's take Oblivion off here and let's take Final Fantasy off the list. Right? Let's talk about games that actually came out.
Yeah. So it's a remaster.
Yeah.
It is a game. I appreciate the fact that it exists. And I appreciate the fact that I can play something from my childhood again.
I appreciate the voice acting as well.
Mm-hmm. So the voice acting, you know, for me, that's...
He just doesn't appreciate old games that have old systems like Final Fantasy and Oblivion. But I don't... My personal opinion is you take both Oblivion and that off the list, and that narrows our list. And I think, because we're going to start arguing here for a second, we ought to take a quick break and get ourselves ready for a little bit of a battle to get into a top 10 and then come back. What do you guys think? We'll be back,
sounds
guys.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Yeah, and we're back. After extreme deliberation, we have started to sort our list. And We have.
And now we're down to what do we think actually deserves to belong in the discussion? We've whittled out all but 17 games. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think, like, thinking about top 10, though, I think while some of these we'd want to play, I don't know that they belong in Game of the Year, and I think that's kind of where this discussion lies, at least for me. Right? Like, these are
absolutely.
And I think that's what we're trying to decide. Absolutely. Like, by no means this list of 17 games we got left, bad games. They're just, should it be on a Game of the Year or not? Right?
Should it be the top? Like, can it be the top five? Can it be the top two?
Yeah. You know,
so we have to look at, like, if you had money, 10 games in 1 year, this is what we have to look at.
Well, we don't even have to talk this down to 10 tonight.
I think
there will be a part two to this where we actually go through and talk about our rankings of every game and decide what our top are.
All right.
But the list so far is, as far as what we've got left, is Darkest Dungeon 2, Monster Hunter Wilds, The First Berserker Kazan, Expedition 33, Dead Zone Rogue, Doom, Tainted Grail, The Altars, Death Stranding 2, Stellar Blade, Spider-Man 2, Rogue City, Unfinished Business, Abiotic Factor, Hollow Knight, Silk Song, Borderlands 4, Vampire, and Dispatch. I'd say Unfinished Business and Silk Song, I'm up for just eliminating right off the bat. Unfinished Business really felt more like a DLC add-on.
I agree.
Than a separate game. And Silk Song, I think we all were just way too disappointed in it to even consider it in discussion.
I've fallen off that game hard. Do I want to maybe go back and finish it? Maybe, but it just didn't feel as rewarding as Hollow Knight. And maybe I'm wrong for that, but internet, get mad. I didn't like Silk Song that much. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And then one I think I felt like you two were already on consensus on was Dead Zone Rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, even though it got its 1.0 release, it's nowhere near as good as some of the other games on this list. So
Another game I'm kind of thinking about too, as we're thinking about Colon, like if you compare Borderlands 4 to Monster Hunter Wilds, I would cut Borderlands from my top 10. It was pretty meh.
Of all of the games that came out last year, there's only a few that I've actually completed all the way through and had, you know, a decent opinion of. Borderlands 4 That's was one that I completed.
We'll battle it out.
Something considering I walked into Borderlands 4 after playing through the travesty of Borderlands 3 and trudging through the Tiny Tina, you know, Borderlands game that came out in the interim.
Well, then let's battle it out with scores when we get back to our part two. There. Then can we cut Monster Hunter Wilds then?
No. Monster Hunter Wilds needs to be talked about. Because it is, you know, it still was, you know, it was early in the year, sure. But to me, a substantial Monster Hunter game needs to be talked about.
All right. Well, what we got left, we got to cut three games for our top 10.
Here's the thing. For me, it would be probably still in my personal, but if y'all feel like Bloodlines 2 is too decisive, we can
remove it. Oh, hell yeah. Every game on here is better than that game.
I
disagree. But that's
me. I honestly think that Stellar Blade should also go.
Hell no. It
technically released in PlayStation, you know, on PlayStation 5 in 2024, and it released on PC in June of 2025.
So then by that logic, do we cut Spider-Man as well? I think Stellar Blade's getting snubbed here. Like, Stellar Blade is good.
I kind of agree with Justin on this one.
Because he doesn't want to cut Spider-Man.
Why? Downloaded, and it's one of those games that I planned on playing. I purchased it, but...
You'll change your opinion after you play it.
Back long.
Yeah. Wider releases don't necessarily eliminate something.
You know how long I slept on freaking Nier Automata before I played that game? And I think that is probably, you know, if you had five games to play in a lifetime, I think Nier Automata is one of them that you need to play.
I think it's a little bit meh.
You can believe that, I guess. I honestly believe that Nier Automata is one of those games that
I'll make a concession
with me even to this
day. We're not talking about Nier Automata. I'll make a concession here. So I'm the only one that really likes the Altars. Well, let's go ahead and cut the Altars as well. Because I need to make a concession here. I'm usually really stubborn. I want to make a concession here in hopes that one, Rusty, you'll make a concession and drop one because it'll continue to push us down.
I mean, here's my thing. So even if that were to stay in, that leaves us with 12 games to battle out via ranking, which I'm fine with. If we remove it, that's 11
games.
Fine with that, too.
Yeah, we're at 11 games right now, so we just need to drop one more, and we're at a top 10 that we can then whittle down to a top 5, and that's when it really gets interesting.
All right. I don't know what to really...
I would say...
Really take out at this point.
I would say Monster Hunter, Doom, or Borderlands. That's my call.
I have no opinion on Monster Hunter Wilds because I've not gotten to play it yet, so I can't really say.
Did you play Borderlands 4?
I have not, but I know I will. So, Wilds is one of those I'm not sure I
it's not a game that you would play, Jason. Years. Yeah, it's not a game you'd play.
I mean, Jason's not necessarily a Monster Hunter, wouldn't have gotten into Monster Hunter, whereas I
just don't have time for the grind.
It's like a 60-hour game.
And it does have a fair bit of grind to it. I don't know. It just, Monster Hunter felt rewarding when you do complete, do get to a point where you can complete hunts efficiently, and there are some decent, good moments that you can get out of Monster Hunter. I can't say the same for Borderlands 4. Honestly, Borderlands 4, if I had to, to go back to it, it's like, okay, do I want to play that game again? No. Does the legendary, guns, feel good? No. Is the grind for getting that, getting the, good guns actually feel good? It's better than 3, I guess.
That's what I mean. It's an I guess kind of thing. I never got good legendary combos as hard as I tried to grind that at the end for no reason. Except for a couple of really broken guns.
Said about the purple guns being pretty good, but honestly, it comes down to whether or not whether or not you actually get the god roll, and to know what that is.
It's not a bad game. Right. It's just not as good as the other 10.
Yeah, I will concede Borderlands 4 is not necessarily. Isn't as good as some of the others on this list, I'll say. Okay. It's not something that I would want to replay. Whereas Monster Hunter Wilds, I am actively thinking about replaying it, which is, and replaying it from the ground up, like completely new character, taking, any of the stuff that I've already pre-ground, going through the story again. I want to play that game again.
Fair enough. So, Jason, resort this list and tell the audience where we landed for our top 10 discussion that may potentially turn into a top 5.
The games we have left for discussion in our next episode is Monster Hunter Wilds, the first Berserker Kazan. Let me try not get tongue-tied. Clara Obscura Expedition 33. Doom the Dark Ages. Tainted Grail, The Fall of Avalon, Death Stranding 2, Stellar Blade, Spider-Man 2, Abiotic Factor, and Dispatch.
Ooh, this is actually a pretty good list. Now that all the hype cycle's gone, this is a pretty good list if you ask me.
I mean, I've got pretty strong opinions about
all of these games.
About all of them. I've got strong opinions about 7 out of the, out of the 10. I'm pretty sure I can do. Because Spider-Man 2, I need to play it. And that is just the reality of things. I've got it on my wish list, and it's one of those things. And Stellar Blade is one of those games that is downloaded. Just need to sit down and play it.
I will play it too when they release it. I could replay Stellar Blade right now, honestly.
I mean, Stellar Blade, I bought it on PC. It's on Steam.
That's where I played it.
Okay. Yeah, that's why it's on the list. He played it this year for the PC release. He didn't buy it on PS5.
Okay, all right. That's what I'm saying is I have games on here that I, that made the cut, but I haven't completed or even touched. So,
The only ones I didn't beat were Doom the Dark Ages, Abiotic Factor, but that game's pretty freaking long and it gets really hard. Not in a bad way. First Berserker, I'm almost at the very end. And Marvel Spider-Man 2, I felt like I played that, but it's been a long time. Anyways.
You might have played that on the PS5.
Pretty sure I played it on PS5 like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was...
I think I borrowed it from...
Oh, yeah. It was a from somebody, 2024 right? game.
2023, I'm pretty sure.
That released on PC. No, it's 2024, and it released on PC last June.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 is what they, you know, what they were, you know, touting as
October 23.
Yeah, oh, PlayStation's ability to actually load things really, really quickly from the SSD. That's what they were touting Spider-Man 2 as, is like a tech demo, really, for the PlayStation 5.
It's a really good
game. Look at what we can do now.
So I really do want to play it. I didn't have a, you know, sit back, relax, and have a controller situation at the beginning of 2025. So it was, I mean, that game came out right after my surgery. So it was like, yeah, I was too laid up to actually enjoy anything at that point.
I'm honestly surprised that we got through this many games last year. As much chaos as we had. Rusty had personal chaos. I had personal chaos. I did a photo gig almost 3 out of 4 weekends every single month. My job was incredibly difficult. My personal life was incredibly difficult. So was Rusty. So was Jason's. Like, it's amazing we got through this as a really busy dude. So I think with that, what we do is we'll come back, we record episode 2, and we'll go back through those 10. We'll talk in detail about the 10. Maybe we'll rank them individually, try to figure out where all this stuff lands, and then we'll wrap it all together. I think we can get the episode 2 done in about an hour. What do you guys think?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it depends on how hard we argue, because I feel like I'm going to argue pretty hard on some stuff.
I do, too.
I have a definite number 1 and number 2, though. Like, I don't even have to think.
Oh, yeah.
It's the 3, 4, and 5 for me. If I do a top 5, that's going to be hard.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah. It might be pretty close. But, yeah. For sure. I think we can, we can get this, get this hammered out. I think a lot of people can kind of guess as to where our, where our top spots are going to be. But it's really going to be the rest of the games that we're going to hash it out on.
All right. Well, Jason,
find us at tiltcast.com where you can get both these full episodes as well as our new shorts in audio form. Find us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe there. Help us out. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/TiltCastShorts with a Z. And find us on Facebook and X.
Subscribe. All right, y'all. We'll see you guys later.
All right. Peace.